With Sonny Young. Hello, Sonny.
Happy Monday, Yeheus.
Sonny, I understand you're tipping off with pro basketball.
Yeheus, let's tip off with the National Basketball Association Finals. The Miami Heat edged the host San Antonio Spurs 98-96 to even the best of seven series at one game each. Superstar LeBron James once again powered the two-time defending champions to victory, as we hear now from VOA's Taddy Abedje.
Once again, the game in San Antonio was close, this time during all four quarters of action. LeBron James, who suffered cramps in Game 1, performed brilliantly. He took over Game 2 in the big moments. He made the key pass to Chris Bosh, who nailed a huge three-point shot to put Miami ahead for good. LeBron led the Heat with 35 points and 10 rebounds. He did a great job defending Spurs point guard Tony Parker. LeBron kept Parker out of the paint, which was crucially important to the Heat's victory. The Heat's two other stars also played well. Chris Bosh scored 18 points and Dwayne Wade had 14. After the game, LeBron expressed his thoughts about his role in last night's victory.
I just played a game, trying to play the game the right way, and you know, however the flow of the game is going, you know, I just try to impose my will in some kind of way, either scoring or rebounding or assisting or defending, put my teammates in position to succeed. And I was happy in the fact that I was able to make some plays to help us get the victory tonight.
LeBron said, however, that there is still room for improvement. As for the Spurs, the team was competitive during the entire game. The Spurs simply could not match the intensity of the Heat. All the same, the star players performed impressively. Tim Duncan led the Spurs with 18 points and 15 rebounds. Tony Parker scored 21 points. Manu Ginobili had 19 points off the bench. Kawhi Leonard only scored 9 points and fouled out as he was busy guarding LeBron James. The Spurs had a chance to close this out with a 1-point lead with under 2 minutes left in the game, but they failed to execute their game plan. The Spurs shot 60% from the free throw line, something unusual for the NBA's fourth-best free-throw shooting team. Spurs point guard Tony Parker said his team made some defensive stops, but that their late-game execution could have been better.
I think we can do a little bit better, obviously. We were up one in a great opportunity, great position, you know, to try to win the game, and made a stop, you know, and Bosh missed the three, and we just couldn't make the shot to put them away.
Tony Parker seems confident that his team has two great opportunities to win in Miami. The Spurs will be busy reviewing game film and prepare for the next game. A likely key adjustment for the team will involve how to keep LeBron James out of the paint, the area near the basket. The Heat go back to practice celebrating their Game 2 victory, but with five possible games to go, they too face a lot of work ahead of them. Game 3 takes place Tuesday night in Miami, Florida. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Taddy Abedje.
Game on, sports fans. With the World Cup football tournament kicking off Thursday in Brazil, two former star players are making their picks for the trophy. Michael Owen played in three World Cups for England before retiring from football in 2013. He likes one of Brazil's neighbors to lift the trophy for a third time.
Well, I think Argentina are going to win the World Cup. I think that they've got some fabulous players in Di Maria and Messi, Higuain and Aguero, lots of top-class players. I think they're playing, I know Brazil is next door, but basically in their home conditions. You know, I think this is Messi's time to shine on the world stage. I think some people will argue that you can't be considered the best player of all time unless you do it in the World Cup, so some people won't, of course, but I'm sure that he will want to perform really well in the World Cup.
Michael Owen spoke in Hong Kong, China, one of his stops on a World Cup publicity tour. Also in Hong Kong was former Dutch star Ruud Gullit, who thinks the host country must be considered the favorite to win a record-extending sixth World Cup trophy.
I think that Brazil, of course, is favorite. They play at home. There's a lot of pressure on them winning it. I hope that Holland will do well. They have a less experienced team. They have a lot of youngsters in the team, especially defensively. So therefore, we're going to play also, I think, as we saw in the preseason, that they play a different system. They play a little bit more defensively than they normally do. I hope that an African country will do well, because I think that a lot of African countries have a lot of players who play in the Champions League, play good teams in Europe. So maybe Ghana or Cameroon will do well.
Ruud Gullit mentioned Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon are getting ready for their African record seventh World Cup appearance. They kick off their World Cup campaign Friday when they play Mexico in Natal, Brazil. Cameroon's World Cup preparations were disrupted by a bonus dispute, as we hear now from our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma.
Cameroon's team to the FIFA World Cup was hit by a crisis when players refused to board their plane from Yaounde, bound for Brazil on Sunday. The dispute centers on unpaid bonuses for their World Cup campaign. Albert Njiem Mbonde, a sports reporter with the Cameroon Radio and Television, has the details.
It was initially agreed that they will be given the sum of 50 million silver francs per player, which is in dollars about $100,000 per player. But at departure time, we were told that the players raised the target to about $160,000. So the Minister for Sports in Cameroon, the interim FA president, were all into negotiations with some of the key figures of the technical staff as well as the captain of the team to find a solution. Unfortunately, flying time was delayed and then later reprogrammed for 9:30 p.m. Cameroon time, and then later to midnight and then at 3 a.m. Another unofficialized information we are getting is that the players are asking for the resignation of some figures of the administration of our football, notably the Secretary General of the FA, and that they kind of denied to travel with some authorities of our football on the same flight.
That was Albert Njiem Mbonde, a sports reporter with Cameroon Radio and Television, speaking in Yaounde, Cameroon.
Thanks, Mark. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma. Reports from Yaounde say Cameroon's World Cup team left the city at 6 a.m. local time Monday, almost a day later than planned, and was scheduled to arrive in Brazil on Monday evening. The youngest member of Cameroon's team is striker Fabrice Olinga, who celebrated his 18th birthday May 12th. Olinga will be the youngest player at the World Cup, and he's also the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. Go to voanews.com, our main Voice of America webpage in English. And if you scroll down on the right side of the page, you'll see blogs at VOA News. My blog post is titled Young Lion Olinga Achieving World Cup Dreams, and I write how Fabrice Olinga says he's living a dream by being selected for Cameroon's World Cup team. Another dream fulfilled for Fabrice is getting a chance to play with one of his heroes, Cameroon captain Samuel Eto'o. Olinga was born in Cameroon's seaport commercial capital of Douala, and he developed his skills at the Samuel Eto'o Foundation, established by the four-time African Footballer of the Year. Eto'o, now 33, was even younger than Olinga at 17 years and 3 months when he played in his first World Cup for Cameroon at the 1998 tournament in France. And speaking of African youth, World Football's governing body, FIFA, says Ghana and Nigeria will have the two youngest World Cup teams in Brazil. The Black Stars of Ghana have an average team age of 25 years and 6 months, while the African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria have an average team age of 25 years and 10 months. The Black Stars and the Super Eagles will both kick off their World Cup campaigns 1 week from today on June 16th. Ghana will go against the USA in Natal, Brazil, while Nigeria will play Iran in Curitiba, Brazil. The American team arrive Monday in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where the squad will be based. In its buildup for Brazil, the Americans scored friendly victories over Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Nigeria. On Saturday, striker Jozy Altidore scored his first two goals of 2014 as the USA defeated Nigeria 2-1 in the southern U.S. city of Jacksonville, Florida. Altidore found the net in the 34th and 68th minutes. He now has 23 international goals for the USA, and his breakout performance came after a long scoring drought. So that was good news for the USA's German coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, and the team's fans. Nigeria's goal came late in the match in the 86th minute on a penalty shot by Victor Moses. A crowd of more than 52,000 attended the match at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. In more World Cup news, FIFA says of the 61,600 tickets available for Thursday's World Cup opener between Brazil and Croatia, a total of 25,630 were sold to the general public. FIFA says about 10,000 tickets are going to fans through promotional activities. After Thursday's opening match in Sao Paulo, there will be three games on Friday. Let's run them down. The Indomitable Lions. I love saying that. The Indomitable Lions of Cameroon kick off their World Cup campaign against Mexico in Natal, Brazil. In a spicy rematch of the 2010 World Cup final, Spain will go against the Netherlands and Salvador, Brazil. Ruud Gullit, he's picking the Dutch in that one. Count on it. Gullit, the Dutch. And in the final match on Friday, Chile against the Socceroos of Australia in